There is no doubt that Abraham was a faithful servant of the Lord. In the book of Genesis, we read much of his various exploits and his deeds that he did for the Lord. He was the one to whom the Lord made a great promise to over there in Genesis chapter 12 and the verse number 2. In Genesis 12 and the verse number 2, it just follows on from Abraham's call. In Genesis 12 verse 2 it reads, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Then verse 3 says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." A great promise was made to Abraham, and that was to do with the nation of Israel, and then the Lord Jesus Christ coming from even the line of Abraham. But then in Genesis chapter 17 and the verse number 15 and 16, we read that Abraham was promised a son by the Lord. Abraham and his wife, they had had no children. They had longed for children. But in this passage we read that they were promised a son by the Lord. Verse 15 it reads, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Abraham's wife was old, but yet the Lord promised that they would have this child even in their old age. And then in chapter 21 and the verses 1 to 3, we read of the birth of this promised son. Verses 1 to 3 of Genesis 21 read, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." How true that we can say with a certainty that God's word is true. And here, God had made a promise to Abraham, and his word came to pass. And the same applies today, for what God says will always come to pass. But we can imagine the great rejoicing and the happiness of Abraham and Sarah in that the Lord had blessed them with such a child even in their advanced years. We can imagine the delight and the enjoyment that they had as they raised this child and they taught him the various principles and the various things that he needed to know for life. As they prepared him for his inheritance, Abraham was a very rich man, and Isaac, as his son, was going to inherit all of his goods. But they also would have had great joy as they taught him about the Lord. But here in chapter 22, Isaac has grown into a young man or a lad. And in this chapter, we have recorded a very testing but blessed episode in the life of Abraham and his son. And this evening, as we come to examine this particular passage of Scripture, I want just to leave a few simple thoughts with you from Genesis chapter 22 and the verses 1 to 13 on this event that takes place surrounding this picture of Christ in this passage. And the first thing I'd like us to see is that there was a test that was given. In verses 1 to 2, we read that the Lord, he speaks unto Abraham and he commands him to do something. He was to take Isaac, this only and beloved son, this son who had been promised, this son who he had longed for many years, and then the Lord had promised him. He was to take him and to sacrifice him. It says there in verse 2, "And he said," that is the Lord said, "take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." We can perhaps well imagine the thoughts that must have went through Abraham's mind having received this command. This was the son who had been promised to him. This was the son from which a great nation was to descend, as had been promised by the Lord. But now he was being told to lay him on the altar and to sacrifice him. But in this matter, Abraham trusted the Lord. He sought to proceed in obedience to the commands of God. In the words of Romans chapter 8 and the verse 28, they come to mind in this matter. Those verses, that verse which reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." How often is it in our own lives that we cannot see the purpose behind something? Maybe something happens and we wonder, why did this have to happen? We don't understand it, but yet there is still a purpose behind it. This to Abraham would have appeared a strange command, but yet the Lord knew what he was doing. He had planned what was going to happen. In verse 1, we note there the word tempt is used. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." And of course, the Lord, he does not tempt his people in the sense that we would use the word tempt. But rather what is meant here is that this was a test. The word tempt is often used and it means the same as the word test. So really the Lord was testing Abraham's faith to see if he would withhold anything from him. We see that in verse 12. Where the last part of that verse it says, "For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." How often is it that whenever men are faced with a trial or some sort of great difficulty, a great test of their faith, and they instantly back down? In the words of one theologian, they shrink from the yoke of God and they begin to go down their own path. It brings to mind the words of 1 Peter and the chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 to verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. And in those verses we read, it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Peter there is saying that we can rejoice in trials. And those trials, they're only for a season. That season, it may be a couple of days. It may be a couple of years. It may be for our lifespan in this earth. But yet those trials will not continue on through eternity. But he also says that the trial of your faith, it being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Gold, whenever it was being, could we say, tested or refined, it was put through the fire to take out any impurities. And as well as that, the faith of the believer will often be tested through various trials to test the genuineness, to determine the genuineness of that faith. And that word temptations in verse 6, it again can also mean test or trial. But the Lord's people, they will often face trials and testings. But we can even rejoice in them. But may we be like faithful Abraham whenever we face those trials, whenever we face those tests. And whenever Abraham here, he heard the word of God and he sought to obey and follow what was commanded. He maybe did not understand all that was taking place, but yet he obeyed the Lord. Abraham in the past, he had went down his own path in life. And he got it horribly wrong. Those two occasions recorded in Scripture. One is in Genesis 12. The other one in Genesis chapter 20. Whenever, out of fear of being put to death, he tried to pass off his wife as his sister. He bore false witness. He took those matters into his own hand. And fearing death, he lied. In each instance, his sin was found out. And the Scriptures tell us that, oh, be sure your sin will find you out. Maybe there's one here tonight and you're playing at being the Christian. You can come to church, you perhaps even help out in the various works of the church, but deep down you know that you are not living right. You may fool those around you, but you will not fool the living and true God. The Scriptures say, be sure your sin will find you out. And even if you maybe get away with it during your life on earth, When it comes to that great day when the final judgment will take place, there will be no hiding. That judgment that we read of in the book of Revelation and the chapter 20 and the verse 11, where we read there of the great white throne, Revelation chapter 20 and the verse number 11. It reads, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." On that day of judgment, there will be no hiding from your sin. You may fool, as we said, you may fool people down here, but you will never fool the Lord, who is that great judge who sits on the great white throne. My friend, tonight, do you recognize before God that you are a sinner? Do you recognize that if you do not repent and call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, that you will be lost for all eternity? Sin is real. Judgment is real. The scriptures testify to these things. These things are matters of life and death. Tonight, where do you stand in regards to this matter? But then secondly, we note the journey that was undertaken. We see in verse 2 that the Lord told them, he says, "And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of." We see the place where Abraham was commanded to go. He was commanded to go into the land of Moriah, to a place that the Lord would tell him. It is believed that this particular place where he was told to go, that area would later become known as Jerusalem. And most commentators, they also believe that the very mount that Abraham was directed to by the Lord was none other than Mount Calvary. This is no coincidence, but rather this event that took place on Mount Moriah with Abraham and Isaac, it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think of that day when he was taken up that mountain. Perhaps he was taken to the very same spot, and he was sacrificed. He was crucified on that cross for the sins of men and women. We see also the punctuality of Abraham. As in verse 3, we read, it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass." Having been told that he was to depart from Moriah, Abraham arose early in the morning and he commenced his journey. He didn't, as it were, to use some Ulster language, he didn't dawdle. He didn't drag his feet. He didn't delay. But rather, he rose up and obeyed the Lord. Psalm 119 and the verse number 60. Psalm 119 verse 60. It says, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." I think we can say that Abraham, he certainly made haste and delayed not to keep the commandments of the Lord. But what about you tonight? What about you tonight? Have you made haste and have you delayed not to keep the commandments of the Lord? Delaying often only makes matters worse. Abraham here, he had his commandment from the Lord. He had been told what to do. There was no need for him to delay. There was no reason to delay. But he went forth trusting the Lord. Maybe tonight there's one here and you have heard the Lord calling you to salvation. But yet you have continued to delay. You continue to dawdle. You say to yourself, "Well, I'll think about it. I'll take a little time and consider it. I'll talk about it with my friends or my work colleagues. I'll talk about it with my family." There's no need for a decision to be made. You think that you have all the time in the world. You think that you can just continually keep delaying. But note the words of Proverbs 27 verse 1. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We cannot presume upon tomorrow. We cannot expect to have a tomorrow to seek the Lord. When the Lord calls, do not delay, for you may not get another opportunity to call on his name. The hymn writer penned the words, "Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Saviour is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay. Jeremiah chapter 8 and the verse number 20. I'm sure many of us perhaps know this verse very well. Jeremiah 8 verse 20, it reads, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." And we probably could have just take that verse and apply it to ourselves in this present situation. The summer has ended. The harvest time is here. It is passing. And yet, perhaps tonight, you're not saved. How long will you delay? How long will you put off salvation? How long will you continue on in your sins, not seeking after the Lord? But then we also note Abraham's perseverance. He showed great commitment as he traveled to this place. In verse 4 it says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." He saw the place, or he seen the place on the third day. Abraham, as the end of chapter 21 would show us, he was in a place called Beersheba. And it's estimated that it was approximately 3 days' journey from Beersheba to Moriah. So the fact that Abraham got there in 3 days shows that he was committed. He was persevering to get there. And as we said, he did not delay. His journey, it took commitment, it took perseverance, it took resolve. When we consider that he had been told to sacrifice his only son, his beloved son, does it not further show his commitment to what the Lord had commanded him to do? Many people, they have sought to serve the Lord in one form or another, but they have had a lack of commitment. But tonight, we must state that the Lord, he requires commitment. We need to be 100% committed to the cause of Christ. We are to be committed to the work that he has for us. Maybe the Lord has burdened you for a particular aspect of his work. And friend, I say to you tonight, you need to be committed to it. We also note there was a reference here to the third day. And does that not remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ again and his resurrection from the dead? For the scriptures tell us that on the third day, after he had been crucified, he ascended from the grave. He rose from the dead. Peter, preaching to Cornelius in Acts 10 verse 40, he speaks of Christ and says, "Him God raised up the third day." It is fact. It is fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again on the third day. But tonight, do you believe it? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Do you believe that God raised his son from the dead? And have you called on his name for his salvation? Then thirdly and finally tonight, we note the sacrifice that was provided. In verse 9, we see how Abraham, how he arrived at the spot that God had led him to. It says there, "And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." He'd arrived at that spot where he was to build the altar. He'd arrived at that spot where the Lord had told him to go, to that spot where he had been directed by the Lord, that spot where he was to offer up his only son. The following verse is what a story they tell. We could perhaps picture the scene in our minds. We perhaps can picture the altar is built. The wood is laid upon it. Isaac, Abraham's son, is bound. And then he's set upon the altar. And Abraham, he lifts up his hand with a knife in it to kill his son. There is no doubt as to what he is going to do. He is going to go through with God. And he's going to slay his son in order to obey the Lord's command. In order to obey the Lord's command to sacrifice him. But then something happened. We see that Abraham, he stopped, for the angel of the Lord called out to him, and he told him to stop because Abraham, he had proven his faithfulness. He had proven his trust in the Lord. We see that verse 11, the angel of the Lord called to him. And then verse 12, the angel said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham was willing to lay all on the altar for God, even his beloved son. My friend, what about you tonight? Are you willing to lay all on the altar for God? Are you willing to surrender everything to the Lord? Are you willing to go through with God? Then also we see that Abraham, he's seen something. We see that in verse 13. It then reads, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns." He lifted up his eyes, and what did he see? He's seen a ram. He's seen the Lord's provision for the sacrifice. And we refer back to verse 8. Where in verse 7, Isaac had asked where the lamb was for the burnt offering. In verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Abraham may not have known how prophetic his words were, but now the Lord had provided for the sacrifice, and his eyes were opened, and he beheld the provision of God. Oh, that your eyes would be opened tonight, and that you would see the provision of God in salvation, that you would see that he has made that provision for your soul, and that you can be born again, and you can be made righteous in his sight. But we also see that there is substitution here in verse 13. In the second part of it, it says, "And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." This ram was offered up in the place of Isaac. Does that not get to the core of the gospel message? We are sinners. We are guilty. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. We deserve to face punishment for our sin. But yet God in mercy sent down his son. He sent him down to that cross at Calvary to die and to shed his blood on the cross for our sins. He was our substitute, the spotless Lamb of God. The hymn writer said, "Oh, what a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation he hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life." This, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took our place. He took our place on the cross at Calvary. He died not for his own sins, but he died for our sins. My friend, will you believe in him tonight? Will you trust in him? Instead of Isaac dying on this altar here in the book of Genesis, this ram took his place. This ram was sacrificed on the altar instead of Isaac. And likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ, he sacrificed himself on the cross at Calvary in our place. Oh, what love is shown in that act of substitution. My friend, is he your substitute tonight? Has he taken your place? Have you called on him for salvation? We note the words of Romans chapter 5 and the verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 8. It reads, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, will you turn to him tonight? Will you leave your sin? Will you leave all the pleasures of this world and turn to the Lord? Then we note that there was salvation. Because Isaac, he was saved from death by this ram provided by the Lord, just as we are saved from eternal damnation by the death of Christ. We are saved from that by the death of the Savior. The Lord did not die for his own sin, for he was sinless. He was that lamb without blemish. But yet he took our sins on his shoulders. He made them his very own. And he suffered and he died on the cross for those sins. After this event, Abraham never built another altar. This was the last altar that he built. Does that not draw our minds to the words of Christ on that cross at Calvary? Whenever he cried out those words, "It is finished." There are no sacrifices to be paid for sin now. The final sacrifice has been paid. It is finished. As we come to close tonight, will you not call in the name of the Lord? Salvation is freely offered to all who will believe. It is a free gift. It is not purchased by works. You cannot purchase it with money. You cannot purchase it by the works of the flesh. It is the gift of God. We are fallen sinners. We have broken the law of God. We stand condemned before it. The wages of sin is death. But yet the Lord sent down his Son in mercy to die on that cross at Calvary to make a way of salvation. We note the words of 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my friend, will you not confess your sins to the Lord tonight? Will you not call upon his name for his wonderful salvation? And will you not turn to him while in mercy he is waiting? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.